give us some options. And certainly, we're not going to be able to treat open animals the same as we do pregnant ones. And so we've got to match this to our resident herd program and address the disease risk on our herd. Now, as we look at a relative disease resistance, and I guess you can pick your, we can pick our favorite disease here and just make it specific, but a population of animals will have a relative level of disease resistance, and that's whether they, if they, with vaccination or with field exposure, there will be animals that are highly resistant. There will be animals that will be minimally resistant. And as we might superimpose the disease challenge level, we might make this, if we purchase this group of heifers and brought them to a new ranch, and where there is a certain level of disease challenge present. And so we may, in this example, there are some animals that are likely already immune the day they arrive. But there are a large percentage of animals that are susceptible to that particular disease. And as we consider where we might go with the vaccination program, the goal then is to move this relative level of disease resistance up on a herd basis such that fewer of these animals are susceptible, and that will have a great effect on the disease dynamics, spread of disease, et cetera, of that particular agent within the herd. So just a little schematic of herd vaccination and what we try to accomplish as we move animals, new animals into a herd. So a little more on vaccination plans. Open females, certainly we've got the option of using a modified live pre-breeding in those particular animals and giving, revaccinating and giving appropriate boosters. Also the bacterial agents, clostridials, lepto, hargobovis, vibrio, etc., to blend those animals into our herds. Whereas we're restricted, as you know, somewhat with pregnant female replacements on incoming vaccinations. We're probably going to be limited mostly to killed virus vaccinations, with the exception if we're able to obtain herd records of vaccination history such that in some cases, if on label, they might be able to receive a modified live as we blend these animals in if we know the appropriate history and they're qualified to be able to receive that vaccine. But certainly, this is sort of basic, will reduce your risk as you're bringing new animals in. And there are others, other risks, certainly a calf scour risk on your ranch or particular ranches may need some attention too, because you have opportunity to increase immunity with a scour vaccine such as Scour Guard. Arrival handling. In another session this morning, Tom Knopfinger and Lynn Locatelli are talking about low-stress cattle handling, and I think that fits very well to how we handle animals, and really the husbandry aspects is very, very key. I haven't mentioned, though, I think a major point for a purchase replacement is the issue of separating, holding these animals separate from the resident herd from a period of time. And if the industry, I believe, would adopt one management change that would reduce risk significantly in replacement development or replacement programs, is when they're purchased, that they should be kept separate from the resident herd from a period of time. And that means especially not commingling pregnant females near or during calving time, because we know that commingling around that period of time increases risk for calf diarrheas. We know that younger calves are at higher risk for infectious disease if this pathogen or disease agent exchange occurs or when it does. And we also know that PI calves will cause significant economic loss. So not commingling immediately is a very important management procedure. these purchase replacements, if they become ill themselves, you have the ability to pull and treat those and isolate them longer if you need to, and certainly have the ability to pursue a confirmed diagnosis so you know what you're dealing with before commingling occurs. So that's a major point in being able to handle and reduce risk when you're purchasing replacements. Do not introduce PI-DVD animals. Test incoming non-pregnant ones, or if they are pregnant, the offspring should be tested prior to commingling, or introduction of PIs can occur. So certainly we know that in a herd population, most of the PI animals are going to be in this frame here. It's going to be in the calves, with a much lower percentage being in the adult population. Number of diagnostic tests available. Dr. Rogers described one this morning. They each have advantages and disadvantages, but they can all accomplish the goals that we want, that we have, if used appropriately. A little bit more on diagnostic tests or serology tests of arrivals, and certainly this is going to vary with what your strategies are and your disease control on your particular ranch and in your herd. Bovine leukemia virus is one that's drawing increasing attention. Also, we've much improved our Arjobovis lepto diagnostics. The urine testing approach, as well as serology, so we've got very good diagnostics there that are in the process of being improved. Yoni's disease, we talked about earlier. This would be testing of older cattle, is the focus here, due to the diagnostic constraints that we have in Yoni's. And of course, the other more common ones that we've dealt with for years, Brucella and TB. So something to consider as we raise the bar in reducing disease risk. Some other considerations: biosecurity, biocontainment, break time for equipment and facilities. The questions become, well, how long? Those are difficult answers, and I think we all operate under some constraints. And what's practical for one might not be practical for others. But I think scheduling some kind of break time in general is very, very good. And we can be more specific with certain diseases, but certainly that consideration is important. Looking at people flow, cattle flow in operations varies considerably, but some consideration for disease is very, very key, as well as is parasite control when we're working through our disease control plans. Summarizing briefly, certainly, we've got, being able to integrate these replacements into our herds, not only this first year of calving, but integrating them into our herd and getting these animals to produce for many years, a productive lifetime has a profound economic effect. I think that as we consider health risk, health plans, disease control plan designs, I think will become more important as we're moving forward. So using some biosecurity and biocontainment concepts, I think are going to work very well. And we've got to certainly differentiate how we handle our home-raised and our purchase replacements as we integrate them into our herds. I think prioritizing health risk is somewhat of an individual decision, but certainly we have options. And I think hopefully that we can move along and get these implemented very cost-effectively and practically to be integrated on a daily basis into our operations. So with that, I think we may have a little time for questions or a few minutes, and otherwise we'll break for lunch. Questions for Tom or? Very good. All right. We're hungry.
Thank you.